और डिसाइपलशिप इन प्रैक्टिस। आप में से कोई ऐसा यहां बैठा है जिसको अंग्रेजी पूरी समझ में नहीं आती, इसलिए मैंने हिंदी में बोला, कोई बात नहीं, मेरे को भी नहीं आती ज्यादा, सो देयर इज नथिंग रॉन्ग इन इट। ओके, सो इफ यू फील दैट यू डिडंट अंडरस्टैंड एनीथिंग यू कैन रेज योर हैंड, आई विल रिपीट इन मराठी और हिंदी, विच एवर लैंग्वेज यू वॉन्ट। आवर पर्पज इज वी शुड लर्न द क्लास। आर यू ऑल रेडी विथ मी? शैल वी पॉज फॉर अ वर्ड ऑफ प्रेयर? शैल वी प्रे? Gracious God and our Father, we want to thank you for this privileged time you have given to us. Lord, we are very much a limited being in ourselves. But we know, God who is full of wisdom, grace, love and mercy is in our midst. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. So Lord, we request you, even as we read in the scriptures, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of me, and I will give him liberally, without upbraiding. We request you, dear Lord, that you may give us wisdom to speak, to listen, to hear, to understand, and to apply in our life. As we learn this very important class, help each one of us to focus on it, Lord, and touch our hearts. Speak to us, dear Lord. Guide us and lead us. We commit each one of us and into thy holy hands. Undertake for us. In the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Discipleship in practice. I thought if the time would have been there, we should have considered all these topics. The cost of a disciple, the currency of a disciple. So what do you mean by currency? Money. You all handle money? Dad and mom gave you some money. How to handle money? Lending money, having money, using money, giving money, bribing money. What all Bible teaches about that for a disciple. But we will not have time to learn all of this. So I'm just giving you an outline. First we'll see the call of a disciple. Then the currency of a disciple. The course of a disciple. The cross of a disciple. The conduct of a disciple. The clean life of a disciple. You want a pen? You want a pen? You have? I thought you will be writing then. The cost of a disciple, the communion of a disciple, and the crown of a disciple. And may I tell you, you can just go on adding to this list. So many things that the Lord desires for a disciple. But in these four classes, by the grace of God and help of the Spirit of God, we shall learn as much as basic and very important for all of us. The call, the currency, the course, the cross, the conduct, the clean life, the cost, the communion, and the crown of a disciple. So first we'll turn to the first one for now, the call of a disciple. May I request you to please open your Bible. We must understand this topic as given here. Acts chapter 9. Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. I am reading from verse 1. Listen and look into your Bible please. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Verse 4. And he fell on the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, that is Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias," he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." And the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. A very important passage. Later on, when you read this chapter, just try to find out and underline how many times the word disciple occur there. But as you read there, first thing that you and I must know, who can be called a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me give you a simple definition. A disciple is he who knows the Lord. Did you see in verse 5? He says, "Lord, who are you?" And the Lord answered and said, "I am Jesus." So if one has to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he must know his Lord. He must know his master. Okay? A disciple is he who knows the Lord. Not only that, but a disciple is he who longs to follow the Lord. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He has a desire, a longing to know the Lord and longing to follow the Lord. Isn't that interesting? And that's why we could say like this. A disciple is he who follows both the Lord and his way of living. A disciple is he who follows the master and his message. A disciple is he who follows both the teacher and the teaching and his teachings. Why we say this as the basic fundamental thing for you and me, if want to be disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, should be understood by us. Because there are so many people in this world, you know, they like the messages of the Lord Jesus Christ, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't like the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you name me one? Kya aap mere ko ek naam bata sakte hai? Jisko Yeshu Masih ki shikshayein achhi lagti thi, lekin Yeshu Masih ka vyaktimatva, swayam Yeshu Masih achha nahi lagta tha. A great man, a reputed man. Exactly, what's the name? Sorry? Gandhiji. What did he say there? I couldn't hear. No. That's what. Your name is Anne? She answered correctly, you know. Mahatma Gandhi. He was the one, if you read his biography, he refers to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's Gospel, chapter. Where do we find Sermon on the Mount? 5, 6 and 7. He liked those sermons of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he couldn't be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ for various reasons. But a disciple is he, please note once again, who knows the Lord, who longs to follow after the Lord, A disciple is he who knows the master and his message. So if you and I have to be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, these are the primary things that you and I should know. Do you know your Lord? Do you long to follow him? Now there is one very important aspect. Not only we should stop here, but when we read the scriptures, we find a disciple is he, not only who knows the Lord and longs to follow the Lord, but a true disciple is he who is known by the Lord. The Lord knows him. The Lord knows her. He should be able to say, if Anne says, Lord, I know you are my Lord, you are my Master, you are my Savior, you are my Redeemer. Lord, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. How nice it is if Anne has said that. But at the same time, the Lord himself should be able to look at Anne and say, yeah, I know you. I know you have trusted me. I know you have accepted me. It's a two-way thing, you know. Now you call your dad, dad. But dad should be able to say, yes, you are my son. And then there is a relationship. An intimate relationship. There is a bond. Do you understand that? In discipleship also, it is one thing that people say, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Lord looks into their life and their lifestyles, their behavior and their patterns of and standards of living, the Lord is ashamed of many to call them as his disciples. What about you? Will you please turn to that portion that is referred there? John's Gospel chapter 2. Verse 23. Can one of you read? John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 23. When they saw the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did, they were surprised. And they believed in him. But look at the next sentence. Can you read that? Verse 24.
But Jesus did not trust himself to them because he knew them all.
Yeah. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus did not believe in them. Why? Because their belief was superficial. They were not really following him from their heart. You know why I am saying this, children? Listen very carefully. Today there are so many children, in their childhood they have the privilege to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is salvation only by the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt in that. For there is no other name given among men that you and I should be saved. Save the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because we are all born sinners in this world. We are all heading towards hell. God loved us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sent his son, God becoming son. Man. And coming into this world, he took the penalty of your sin, my sin, your sin upon himself. And he paid it in his own body on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ died on the cross where you and I were supposed to die. He died for us. He died instead of us as a substitute for us. That he was buried and he rose again on the third day. According to scripture, says Bible. And if you really repent of your sins. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ died for me and rose again on the third day in my heart. And I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Praise God for your life. Wonderful. That's the one thing that one must do it genuinely. And there should not be superficiality in that. Because dad says I should do it. Because mom says I should do it. Because my friend has taken baptism, I should take baptism. There are so many such are being deceived and getting into this channel of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the Lord doesn't know. So make sure if you are going to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, truly you have understood that. What? Not only that you know the Lord, but the Lord knows you. The Lord recognizes you. He did not trust in many who believed in him because they believed for the name's sake, for miracle's sake. You know, for the sake everybody was believing, they wanted to believe and follow after that. Never make a mistake in this. If you make a mistake at this juncture, at this decision, the whole thing thereafter, is going to be a big puzzle for you. Unsolved puzzle. That's why the Lord should be able to look at you and me and say, I know Sunil. I know Simon. I know Karen. I know Anne. I know you. I know he is my child. Why that is important? Because then only one can be called a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was very surprised when I was reading this passage once again. You know, Acts of the Apostles chapter 9 we have read. I was surprised. I read this passage number of times, so many times I read. I preached from this passage. But the three vital truths that I learned over a period of time that has just gone by, I never understood it in that way. So when we read this passage which we have read here now, note that there are three vital truths of a disciple. Saul was a man who was persecuting the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there something happened in his life. As he has taken the authority, we read in the scriptures, from the chief priest. Why? To go to Damascus. Why? To catch the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Whether they are men or women, to bind them and to put them into jail, in prison, and to stop the people who follow this way. It is said this way. Christian or Christianity was not known then. They were calling those people, those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, people of the way. But something miraculous happened on that day. What happened? As he, along with his colleagues, going towards Damascus to catch the disciples, the true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, he met the Lord. The Lord met him. It was a day of an encounter in the life of Saul. Are you listening to me? It was a day of an encounter in his life. The Lord meeting him, he meeting the Lord. And in that meeting, there was absolute change in his life. There's absolute about turn in his life. And what has happened there? In the conversation between he and the Lord, Lord and he, reveals us these three vital truths of anybody who wants to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first lesson, the first call of a disciple, and these first three things that you should remember in your life. Anytime, anybody, anywhere who wants to be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said to Ananias that he should go and meet a person by name Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayed. Ananias said, Lord, how can I go to him? Saul, that man, I heard so many things about him. The Lord said, you go, as I say, Ananias. And then in verse 15, we have read like this. Notice there, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. A disciple is a vessel unto his Lord, unto his master. Don't stop there. Because the verse continues, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. He's not only going to be a vessel, but a disciple is a vehicle to bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 16. What is it said? Verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He is going to be a victim of the enemy. He is going to be persecuted, suffering for my name's sake. These are three vital truths for anybody who wants to be a disciple, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, what is the first one? A true disciple is a... First one, which one? Loudly. A true disciple is a... Loudly, my dear. Little loudly. Vessel. Second. Is a vehicle. Third. Victim. A true disciple should be a vessel of the Lord. Secondly, a vehicle to bear his name. And thirdly, to suffer for his name. To become a victim of the enemy. These three words you should catch. You should remember. You got it? These three words. We would like to turn to each one of that and find out what do you mean by a vessel. A true disciple is a vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it is read, written there about the vessel, look at two things which are mentioned there. The first thing, he is a chosen vessel. Look at that verse 15. For he is a chosen vessel unto me. Why Saul of Tarsus on the road of Damascus suddenly became a chosen vessel of the Lord? Why did he become like that? Why did the Lord choose him? You know why? When did the Lord can choose you and me? Look at that word which is used twice there. Verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5, it says there, as he was going, suddenly a light shone round about him, and a voice came, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And what did he say? And he said, who art thou, Lord? I like that word. Who art thou, Lord? Hey Prabhu, tu kaun hai? Who art thou, Lord? Look at the next one. And when he understood, as he heard the next sentence, and the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said again, what? Lord, what will thou have me to do? Twice he is using the word Lord. First, not knowing, because this was something miraculous, he said, who are you, Lord? But when the Lord revealed himself as Jesus, what was the second thing? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Again he calls Jesus as Lord. Something very important we find there. Why? Because who were the lords in the life of Saul earlier? Who were his lords earlier? You can go on naming them. You know? Earlier his lords were what? You know, at whose feet he sat and studied the Old Testament scriptures? Any one of you know? His lord was Gamaliel. His lord was Pharisees. His lord earlier, before knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, was his religion. He was a passionate young man of his day. There was no man hardly you will find in his day like him. Full of passion, zeal and concern for his own people. A young man. But then, what happened? His lordship is changed today. Who is his Lord now? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you? I am Jesus. Lord, what will you have me to do? He has acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord. May I tell you, that is the basic thing that a disciple should understand. Now for example, you and I live in this world. Who are our lords otherwise? From the childhood till this age of your life. What do you mean by Lord? Who is controlling you? Who is ruling your thoughts? What's going on in your mind? What are you always desiring to do, run around? That person, that thing, or that particular activity has become Lord of your life. If you are captivated by certain things which you are made to do, which you know that which are wrong, but yet you are committing those things, you are living for those things become your Lord. For example, without seeing a television, you can't pass on your time. You know, this is the time and I have to see this show. Who becomes your Lord? While there are other things you can do as far as spiritual life is concerned, maybe you can read Bible, maybe you can pray, maybe you can join your family, maybe you can visit the other believer families, maybe you can go to some assembly activities. But no, you want to skip those things. You don't want to interact with those that which is spiritual, because somebody else is ruling on your mind. You want to see that show. And these days, very sad to say, many young children's Lord has become their own laptops, or their own internet connections, or their own mobile phones, or whatsoever it is. So much captivated and controlled by that. But then there has to be a change. How? Those were the Lords earlier, but now who is my Lord? He says, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? His Lordship is changed. His control, his master is changed. In the call of disciple, when he has to be a vessel for the Lord, a chosen vessel for the Lord, the Lord has to be a true Lord. The earlier Lordship is removed and this Lord, Jesus Christ, becomes His whole soul Master and Lord. Is He your Master and Lord? Is He someone that rules your thoughts, your words, your actions, your life? You got to check it. Why? Because the very first sentence that we read in the Bible, you know what? Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, as far as our relationship with God is concerned, except a man is born again, he shall not enter or see kingdom of heaven. But what does Romans 10 and 9 says? Anybody knows it by heart? Anybody knows Romans 10, 9? If thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, believing in your heart that the Lord raised Him up on the third day, thou shalt be saved. The very salvation, the very foundation of you and I knowing Him to be His disciples is what? Believing that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again on the third day, not in the head, but in the heart. And then confessing Jesus as Lord with our mouth. Look at that verse, Romans 10:9. When thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord. And that's what He is doing it here. What is He doing? He says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? His Lordship is changed. Because the Lord says He is going to be a chosen vessel. Chosen vessel is he or she when they change their Lordship from anything else or anyone else to solely the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Is He your Lord? Have you accepted Him? Have you confessed Jesus as Lord from your mouth? Believing in your heart? Have you given that authority to Him? Access and complete control to Him for your life and everything that you do? Have you denied the old lordships from your life? Something that was ruling over you, but now you want the Lord Himself alone to be your Lord and Master? Is it true in your life? You got to check it. He is not only a chosen vessel, but He is a called vessel. What is that called vessel? Why He is called? Why the Lord said to Ananias, He is going to be my chosen vessel? You know why? Very simple. A vessel is that in which the Lord wants to put something in. Isn't it interesting? Now all that junk which was inside, that undesirable thing was inside, the Lord wants to cleanse it. The Lord wants to remove it. He wants to replace those things. And that's why it is called vessel. A vessel is vessel which is useful for something, which can be filled with something. Why the word vessel is used? I think it is because the Lord wanted to put something of His heart, His desire, His plan, His ideas, His purposes in the life of Saul, who is going to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, remember, you and I are His vessel. A chosen vessel because we acknowledge Him as Lord, denying all old lordships. He is alone my Lord. Secondly, we become His called vessel, a called disciple. When? When we understand that the Lord wants to put something in my heart, something to fill in my heart. What does the Lord want to fill in my heart? What did He fill in the heart of this young man Saul? You'll be surprised to read about him and his life. But when you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19, 20 and 21, you will find the same word vessel is being used there. In the house of God, in the church of God, for the glory of God, for the purposes and fulfillment of God and God's purposes, God is using you and me as vessel. You know what? Vessel. Only a true disciple can be a vessel in the hands of the Lord, to fulfill His purposes, to carry out His purposes. When you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 7. Can you read that? 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Yeah, but you have
this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed.
How much can I say from that verse? You know, Apostle Paul is writing that. Now Saul, who turned Paul, he is writing that. What a great vessel he became for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord has put his wisdom, his knowledge. And how he says, what a treasure he has put in this earthen vessel. He calls himself as earthen vessel. And what treasure God has put, you know? If you read that chapter, and if you really understand, you will only weep. You know what and why? If you read verse 8 and 9, there are 8 things mentioned there. And these 8 things are divided in 2 groups. With 2 little words. Yet not, or you can say, but not. I call it as the principle of but not. I'll explain you. What do I mean by that? Only if you are a chosen and called vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ, here is Apostle Paul, Saul who became Paul, he says, like the rest of the people, you will have all troubles, you will have all difficulties, you will have all persecutions, you will have all problems, you will have all things that other people have. But there is a principle put into your vessel. What is that? Principle of but not. And when you read next time those sentences, read it carefully.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
We are troubled, yet not distressed.
We are perplexed, but not in despair.
We are perplexed. Are you perplexed sometimes? What to do, where to do, what to do, where to go, how to do, when to do it or not. Perplexed. Confused. But people of this world will get distressed in their perplexions. That will not happen to a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a true child of God. Why? Because he has put a principle of but not in our vessel. Who understood? Paul understood. This will be too much for us to talk, but let me come to the basic of it. O disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the first thing that we find from his life, he is going to be a chosen vessel, a called vessel, because I am going to put something of mine in his heart. In her heart. A disciple is a vessel. Never forget this truth. You are a vessel. If Jesus Christ is your Lord. If not, you confess your sin today. Now. Accept him as your Lord and your Savior. Deny all other old lordships. And say, Lord, you are only my Lord and Master. First, you will be his chosen vessel. Secondly, you will be his called vessel. When you are his called vessel, he is going to put his treasure inside you. Your life is going to be transformed, changed. You are no more going to be perplexed, troubled, like rest of the people who are put into distress and problems. They do not know what to do, when to do, how to do, where to do. But you will have right sense of direction. In spite of problems, in spite of difficulties, in spite of anything that happens to your life and my life. That's what the Lord wants to do. And he did it in this disciple's life. So a disciple is a first of all. Can I hear from all of you? A vessel. Would you like to be a vessel for the sake of the Lord? A disciple is a vessel. Let me turn to the second one. Because the second one we find, he is going to be a vehicle. Not only a vessel, but a vehicle. A vehicle with the two purposes. What is that? Where he should bear his name. It is for the bearing of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Carrying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, wherever you go, whatever you speak, whatever you wear, whatever you talk, whatever be your conduct, either you are lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or you are pulling down the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who should know? A true disciple should know. Two things I would like to say there. What he should bear and where he should bear. What he should bear and where he should bear. He should bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, a vehicle. And where? Before kings and also before Gentiles and Israel. We read that in verse 16, 15, later part. What do you mean by that, bearing his name? I feel so sorry, children. Listen very carefully. Some of you say you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take the name of the Lord in your mouth. But when your friends or anybody else with whom you live and walk and move, and they see you things which are undesirable in your life, there's a question mark. Disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and doing all these things? Should I name those things? Maybe some of you will be putting your head down because of shame. What is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7 says? Exodus 10:20 will have all 10 commandments listed out there. But what does verse 7 say? Which is very important. Exodus chapter 20 verse 7. Yeah, enough. But thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Have you ever thought about this? We are supposed to be, as a disciple, to bear his name as a vehicle, you know. But as we bear his name, being a vehicle of the Lord, do we bear it in honor or in dishonor? It says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I just put an example. I wish you could read that. Maybe for the lack of time, I may not turn to all of that. I'll just explain it, that passage. Genesis chapter 27, verse 18 and 19. Just write down one side. Because there you'll find this young man, Jacob, coming to his father. What's his father's name? Jacob's father's name. Isaac. Isaac was old. He was not able to see it properly. Isaac called his oldest son. What's his oldest son's name? Esau. And what did he say? Go and hunt a deer. Make a savory meat. Bring it before me. Before I die, I want to bless you. Esau went out to hunt. Mother Rebecca heard it. She called the younger one. What's his name? Jacob. He said, son, I heard your father saying like this to your elder brother. I want those blessings to come to you. What may reason be? That's apart. She said, I'll prepare the meat of two kids of goat, such as your father like. You take it with you and go to father. He will eat and you will get the blessings. You know what Jacob said? Mommy, but if dad comes to know, what will I do? If he finds out that I am not Esau but I am Jacob, instead of blessing, I will be cursed. Mother said, let that curse be upon me. As he heard his mother, he went, putting all those, because Esau was a hairy man, he put all the hairs of the goat around his body, wrapped around, went with that meat. And his father asked him, that's what verse says, who art thou, my son? Who are you? And then you read four lies. Who says? Jacob. To whom? What is the first lie? Jacob. First lie. Genesis 27. 18. Genesis 27, 18. Look at the first lie. Yeah. Who art thou, my son?
And he came unto his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau.
Bas. And Jacob said unto his father, I am? True or false? Correct or wrong? And Jacob said, I am Esau. First lie. Next.
Thy firstborn. I?
Was he firstborn or secondborn? Second lie.
I have done according as thou badest me.
Was he bidden? Was he asked to do something? No.
Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison.
Was it a meat of venison? No. You can read in verse 9. It was the meat of the kids of the goat. Four lies. One after another. When you tell one lie, children, remember, you are bound to tell second lie to hide the first lie. You are bound to tell the third lie to mom or dad or to anybody else to hide the previous lies. You will go on telling lies until you are found yourself under the hands or the authority of the father of all lies. Who is the father of all lies? Whose name is that? Father of all lies. You know? Father of all lies. Satan is known as father of all lies. Where it is written? John's Gospel chapter 8. You are of your father, the devil, who lies from the beginning. Father of all lies is Satan. But then all this happened. What was the next question the father asked him?
And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly?
So simple question, isn't it? My son, I just told you sometime before, you went, you hunt, and you prepared and brought it before me. At least he was an experienced man, because he was a gray-haired man, though he lost his sight. He said, how is it that you found it so quickly, my son? And now I shiver when I read the next sentence.
And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me.
Wow. Because the Lord thy God has brought it to me. I shiver when I read that. All lies, he is covering under what? Under the name of the Lord God. You know why? Because he knows when he takes the name of the Lord God, his father will stop questioning him. He will get the blessing and he will go from there. Well, he got the blessing, but the punishment thereof also followed him. That's the second thing. But I want to tell you one thing. Listen very carefully now. When he asked his son, my son, how did you find it so quickly? He said, the Lord thy God has given it to me. Isaac will have no doubt of God's provision. Will he have a doubt? Will Isaac ever doubt when his son says that the Lord has provided him? He will not doubt. You know why? You know why? Exactly correct. You know what? Because Isaac will never forget in his life what happened when his father Abraham took him to Mount Moriah and bound him hands and feet, laid him on the altar, took the knife in his hand, was about to slay him. Then that was just a fraction of a second. The knife should have been inside Isaac. But his father heard a sound. Abraham, Abraham, lay not thy hand upon the lad. Look behind you. There is a ram stuck in thee. Thorns, take it. Take out your son. Offer the ram. Isaac will never forget in his life what was the place called by Abraham there. What was that place was called? What was that place called? Jehovah Jireh. Means the Lord will provide. So now his son says, the Lord has provided Jehovah Jireh. Will he doubt? No. But son was misusing it. Son was trying to cover all lies under the name of the Lord. How often have you and I done in our lives? Mola, evdeyar no? Where did you go? Oh, I went for youth meeting. I went for Bible class. I went for this work. I went for that work. Trying to spiritualize those things. As if dad and mom will not know. Well, they will not know. But there is God who knows all things. Are you hiding anything in your life under the name of the Lord God? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He was called not only to be a vessel for the Lord, but also to be a vehicle. A disciple is he or she who carry, bear the name of the Lord. In honor, not in dishonor. Does your life bring honor to the name of the Lord? What does your friend say about you? Leave apart for a while, friend. What does your mom say about you? What does your dad say about you? What does your brother say? What does your sister say? What about the friend circle that you spend your time with? What do they speak about you? Do they see that you are bearing the name of the Lord? In your words, in your clothes, in your talking, in your every actions, that you are a vehicle carrying the name of the Lord? He shall be the vehicle. And notice there, not only vehicle to bear the name of the Lord in honor, but also bear where? Not only bear what? The name of the Lord, but bear where? It is given very specifically before the Gentiles, before kings, and before Israel. Why that is specified there? Why that is specified? You know why? I will say only one word. Everywhere, every time. Everywhere, every time, you are going to be a vehicle of the Lord. What an important aspect to be true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I bearing the name of the Lord in honor? Am I bearing the name of the Lord everywhere and every time and in honor? Then are you disciple of the Lord. Then are you a true disciple of the Lord. This is what he desires about a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he is a loudly, everybody, vessel, a chosen vessel and a called vessel. And once you understand that secret of your life, I tell you that you become a vessel of the Lord, your life will be just changed, marvelous. You will really enjoy, as this man enjoyed in his lifetime. The Lord revealed it to him in the first encounter itself, on the day of salvation itself. So when you say you are saved, you are born again, you are supposed to be, as a true disciple, a vessel and a vehicle. Which is the third one? Which is the third one? I will show him what he will have to suffer for my name's sake. You are going to be a victim of the enemy. Don't go by the ways of the people where they say gospel, you know. They call it prosperity gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will get your exams passed. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will get this, you will get that. That's a prosperity gospel, false gospel, pseudo gospel, superficial gospel. The true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that, you know what? Our path is the path of cross, path of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say you abide in him, you ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. 1 John 2:6. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that, uncle? I didn't understand. How am I going to be victim? If you are really following the Lord, remember, this world is not my home. I am just passing through. The treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This world is not the place for us where we'll, you know, if truly take the name of the Lord and truly follow the Lord, they will only speak bad of you, Malay. They will only stop you. They will only argue with you. They will only hinder you. They will only, you know, ridicule you. Because you want to do good, you want to do right, you want to do that which is godly. And you will always be looked down by those who do not know this Lord. But don't be disheartened because of that. Don't step back. I want to live good, uncle, but I'm not able to live. You know, my friend does all that, why should I not do? You feel like doing it. You say no to that by the grace of God. Say no to that. You will have to suffer in your body. You are killing that desire. You are disregarding your friend's advice. You are not following their ways. You know what? For that you may have to suffer for a while. You become a victim for a while. Your friends may ridicule you. Kya yaar? Yeshu Masih kehta rehta hai. Chal, mere saath, aaj ek picture dekh lete. Kya farak padta hai? Kisne bola picture dekhne se hum vishwasi nahi reh sakte? Hai na? Kya farak padta hai? Thoda sa jhoot bol le. Thoda sa ek bar phook ke dekh le. थोड़ा सा खा के देख ले, है ना? At this age it all begins. Let me tell you all that. Some of you will be easily trapped into that. When I was of your age, I was trapped like that. I didn't know about it. Just a casual friend circle. Come on, yaar, one puff doesn't make a difference. But then I understood that it was a great mistake. Thank God. Once you are carried out into any of these so-called sins, it will be too difficult for you to bear it up. Listen very carefully. As a true disciple of the Lord, not only be a vessel, not only be a vehicle, but are you ready to suffer for His name's sake? To be a victim? You will have to if you follow the true way of the Lord. Others may deny you, others may ridicule you, others may reject you, they may speak despitefully of you. But don't worry, the Lord will be on your side. These three things are revealed about this young man on the day of his salvation. And if you say you are born again, and if you say you are a child of God, what will happen? This will happen to you and me also. Three things I said. Well, let me just wrap up these three things, because this practical demonstration of these three words is interestingly found in a word that appears only three times in the Bible. Which word? The word Christian. Did you notice that the word Christian appears in the Bible only three times in the New Testament? And it appears in the same context. Did you read that any time? I find it when you read Acts of the Apostles chapter 11 and verse 26. They were called, the disciples were called Christian first time there. You know why? Because they were really the vessel of the Lord. When Barnabas went to the church at Antioch, he saw them filled with the grace of God. Filled with the grace of God. Filled with the joy of the Lord. Filled with the wonderful things of God in their life. The first word occurs in the Bible, Christian, is found at Antioch, Acts 11:26, and there in reference with the vessel. Secondly, if you read Acts 26:28, you'll find the same man, Saul, now Paul, bearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it was said about him before King. Acts 26 and 28, it was before King Agrippa. He is a vehicle to carry the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? God has kept you and me in a places where you and I are supposed to be. In your house, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your college, with your friends, to bear this name. To speak boldly, I am a true disciple. I will not be ashamed to take the name of the Lord. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and His message, His teaching. Look at the third one. When it is found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. If any man call himself or herself a Christian, will have to suffer for my name's sake. As a Christian, sufferings are a part of life. Sufferings which are mentioned, not just a persecution suffering as the people of this world suffer, these have the special purpose behind it. And the purpose behind it is to refine us, to draw us more closer to God, to change us, to transform us, to modify us, to make us more desirable to God. Not simply He just sends any persecution or trials in our life. No, to mold us, to make us, to transform us. So remember these three words. If you want to be a true disciple of the Lord, be a vehicle. Before that, be a vessel. Be a vehicle. And be a victim. Interestingly, when I say all that, no message is complete, I always say, unless we talk about the true messenger, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Think of Him to be a vessel of God for us. We read of Him in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14. Remember, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. He was full of, can you name the words? And we beheld His glory, and He was full of grace and truth. John 1:14. A vessel full of grace, a vessel full of truth, a vessel came into this world, full of God's goodness, full of God's compassion, full of God's love. There is no one apart from Him, no one like Him, who really became a vessel. Very much the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Him as a vehicle. Think of Him as a vehicle. Did He not leave the heavenly glory? You and I just cannot imagine the distance that He traveled. He left heaven and came to earth. A vehicle. Why? For what? To bear the name. Of whom? Of God. Before whom? Before you and me. God, who is otherwise unseen and unknown to us. By our intellect, by our knowledge, we cannot make God, we cannot know God, we cannot understand God. God whom we can never see, Him He hath revealed to us. Jesus Christ is the only way for us to know the true and the living God. He has manifested Him to us. What are we trying to look at? We are trying to see that which God demands from us. God has demonstrated for us in the very much the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I was surprised when I think of Him, the thirdly, being a victim of the enemy. Being a victim of the enemy. No one sitting here, no one in the earlier centuries or centuries after this, will ever become a victim of the enemy like the Lord Jesus Christ. How much He suffered for your sake and my sake. Can you imagine? Can you think of those sufferings? The day He came into this world, when the king came to know that a king is born, king of the Jews, he tried to slay him. And for that, there was a great slaughter in that land. We read in the Bible, there was a huge cry all over the land. Because every family which had child of 2 years below, suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. You have often heard in the assembly halls. Maybe you have read it sometime. Maybe you have tried to visualize. Whether you try to visualize or vocalize, we can never completely say of those sufferings which He suffered in His body, in His spirit, for which He was really bled and died for our sake. He became the victim of the enemy on the cross. He suffered for your sake and my sake. Lord Jesus Christ has shown us that particular thing in His own personality. Three things in the call of a disciple: a vessel, a vehicle, a victim. And if you are going to be a true disciple of the Lord, remember these three things at all the time. Without which, you and I cannot be the true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to question like this. Are you enjoying this privilege as a true disciple of the Lord? Or are you forfeiting this privilege? Ye bahut badi saubhagya ki baat hai, ki Masih Yeshu mein jinko bulaya gaya hai, ve ek patra ke saman hai. एक वाहन के समान है और शत्रु के द्वारा सारे सताव को अपने आप को सहन करने के लिए तैयार करने के लिए. यह बहुत बड़ा सौभाग्य है. बिकॉज मेनी क्रिश्चियंस डिड नॉट अंडरस्टैंड दिस पार्ट ऑफ द ट्रू डिसाइपलशिप, दे आर नॉट एंजॉइंग देयर क्रिश्चियन लाइफ एंड क्रिश्चियन प्रिविलेजेस. दे आर फोरफीटिंग इट. आई वॉन्ट इन दिस क्लास एवरी वन ऑफ यू टू गेट अ ग्रिप ऑफ दिस and make Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and enjoy to be vessel in His hand, to be vehicle to bear His name, and to be ready to become victim of the enemy. But when you say victim, don't forget, victim means don't be offended, don't be troubled in your heart. In spite of the enemy has victimized the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to the end possible, who is victorious? Who is victorious? The Lord Jesus Christ is victorious. The death has no lay on Him. The grave could not hold Him back. He is victorious. He is risen. He is alive. So if you be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of all these things happening to you and me in this world, along with the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I going to be, hello, going to be victorious. Vijay Hamara Hai. Isn't it a great thing? Would you like to be a true disciple of the Lord? And enjoy the privileges the Lord has given. Be a vessel, be a vehicle, be a victim. May these three things you understand as one of you will close in prayer. And then we'll have a short break. And then we'll go for the next class again. shall be